Titus 2 and verse 6. Titus 2 and verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, we do ask that you would help us. Help me in preaching. Please help me. Fill me by your Spirit. Give me zeal, energy, strength to help these people and to help myself to understand your word, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Especially help the young men, that they might hear your word to the profit of their souls, and then they might hear, not with hardness of heart, but with receptive heart to your truth. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We now come to the young men. We've seen the exhortation that Titus is to give to older men, to older women, and those older women are to admonish and teach the younger women. And now we see the exhortation to young men as he begins, likewise, as you've been exhorting the others, likewise exhort the young men. And we see that he wants them to be exhorted to be sober-minded. And so we think here about this exhortation about young men and the need to be sober-minded. But even though this exhortation is directly given to young men of the need that they have to be sober in their thinking, obviously being sober-minded or also self-controlled is this reality, is an exhortation for all of us. We all are to be sober-minded. We're all to be self-controlled. We're all to be acting and living in this way. And therefore, the things that even though this is directly related to the young men will also, of course, have application to any person who desires to live a life pleasing to God through Christ. But the main point of this sermon is young men, based on sound doctrine, are to be exhorted to be sober-minded. And my main point is, I only have one point in this sermon, so my main point is my one point. Young men, based on sound doctrine, are to be exhorted to be sober-minded. So again, young men, based on sound doctrine, are to be exhorted to be sober-minded. We see at the beginning of Titus 2 that he tells Titus to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. So all the things that he's exhorting are in the context of the foundation of sound doctrine and how sound doctrine leads and dictates and fuels a godly life. And so just like the older men are to be exhorted based on sound doctrine, just like the older women are to be exhorted based on sound doctrine and the younger women, it's all to be rooted and grounded in our knowledge of God, our knowledge of the person and work of Christ, our knowledge of the indwelling and power of the Holy Spirit, and all of those doctrinal things are to fuel our obedience to God in these very practical ways. And so we must never separate the practical living of the Christian life from the doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. They must always go together. They must always be implanted together, that sound doctrine and sound living must be united. There must be a united front of sound doctrine and sound living. And so the young men, based on sound doctrine, based on the love of Christ and him giving himself for us, is to be the motivation for them to be sober-minded. And I'm unashamedly going to be using much material from this book, Thoughts for Young Men, one of my favorite books. And actually, at the beginning, the verse that is basically the foundation of this entire book is Titus 2 and verse 6, our verse. So J.C. Ryle wrote this book, and his main verse was Titus 2 and verse 6. And in the King James Version, it reads, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And so that was the foundation of the reason why he wanted to write this book. So I will be using many of the categories J.C. Ryle points out in showing why young men need to be exhorted. And the first reason from his book that I want to present is why young men need to be exhorted is because of determining the future. Determining the future. Young men need to be exhorted because the choices that they make as teenagers and as men in their 20s will have a great effect on what their future will be like. The decisions that a teenager or 20-year-old makes will greatly affect how successful or unsuccessful they are, how happy or unhappy they are, how godly or how ungodly they are, because in this crucial time of life, young men are setting roots for themselves that will determine what will happen to them in their future days. Young men usually in this time might pick the career path they're going to go, their occupation. They usually around that time will pick their spouse. And these important decisions of their godly living, of being sober-minded, will greatly affect their future days. That if they made foolish decisions when they were young, they might regret them and feel in misery all the days of their life. And so young men are to be sober-minded, to have clear thinking, to be self-controlled, so that in latter days they might be happy with the choices they made instead of miserable. Because the choices that we make now have a great effect. And I can't remember if it was this section or another section, but J.C. Ryle gives a great example of this. He says, a young sapling tree, a young boy could pick up and take out of the ground because it's so small and so flimsy. But if you have a big oak tree that has been planted for years and years, maybe decades, you could have 10 grown men try to pick it out of the ground and they can't. And the point he's getting at there is once you build strong roots in your young age, it's hard to pull that up when you get older. If you deal with it early as a young man in your decisions, it's easier to fix that and realize that was unwise. But if you plan it and continue to make wrong decisions as a young man, it's hard when you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s to change course because you've planted yourself. And so young men must be exhorted because they need to know that their life in the future, my life in the future as a young man, your life in the future, if you are a young man, is very much determined by the decisions you make as a young man, for better or for worse. And therefore, this is crucial that we think wisely. We don't think for immediate gratification, but we think what will help us in the long term? What will benefit us years from now in the decisions that we make? Young men should learn and think not what will help me or what will be good for me next week, but what will be good for me 20, 30 years from now. Obviously, God is sovereign. We don't know what our life will be. We're not promised tomorrow, but we are to plan our ways. Planning is not unbiblical as long as we do not do it without acknowledging the Lord. But we are to plan our ways. We are to think about the future. And so young men should be exhorted in what they decide to do because it will greatly determine their future. The second one is saving from sorrow, which is very similar to the first one. But young men need to be exhorted because they need to think sober-mindedly. They need to think with self-control so they don't put themselves in great sorrow. A man who makes foolish decisions with his life and his decisions will have much sorrow in the future if he did it unwisely without sober thinking. If he was someone who, instead of thinking rightly, just did things on a whim, he might have great sorrow in his latter days. Think about it. There might be people now that are very sorrowful because they abused alcohol. And now in their later life, their health is deteriorated because in their younger years, they were unwise. They were not thinking soberly in their use of alcohol, and now their body is deteriorated because they did not make wise decisions in how they used alcohol. That's just one example, but there can be many ways in which that can happen. Or a man in his younger years, he marries a woman just because she's pretty. He doesn't care about her godliness. He doesn't care about how good of a wife she's going to be. He just likes the way she looks. And then he's 60, 70, and he's with a contentious woman, and he feels sorrowful at his unwise decision because he was only concerned about how the person looked. And so a young man needs to be exhorted because there is so much sorrow that he can save himself from if he chooses to think with sober-minded thinking. This is crucial for young men to think with sober-mindedness. Another one is pride. Young men need to be exhorted because of the danger of pride. It can be easy for young men to think more highly of themselves than they ought. It can be easy for young men to think more of themselves than they should. And therefore, they don't want to hear the counsel of their parents. They don't want to hear the counsel of godly men and women in the church. They just want to do it exactly the way they want to do it. And so therefore, they're prideful. And they need to be exhorted against the dangers of pride. The danger of thinking, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do, how to do it, when to do it, because I am going to do it the way I want to do it, which is a great danger. And any young man who's thinking like that is the farthest thing from being sober-minded. The farthest thing from being sober-minded. Because for a young man not to listen to the counsel of his parents or the counsel of pastors or the counsel of older godly men and women in the church, what he's saying is, I want to act like a fool. I want to act like a fool. You don't have to turn there, but just quickly, this reference came to my mind about the foolishness of that. In Proverbs 18 and verse 1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgments. Let me read that verse again. Proverbs 18 verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. And then verse 2 is maybe even stronger. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. And so we see there the danger of a man who isolates himself, who's unwilling to listen to others. He rages against all wise judgment. And he has no desire in listening to others and understanding others. He only wants to express his own heart. And that's a fool. And so young men must be exhorted against the dangers of pride. And so for you young men, when's the last time you've ever asked someone, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts about this? When's the last time you've humbled yourself and said, you know what, I should probably ask someone else what they think about this? Because I might not see all the picture. I might not see everything. I might not see everything going on. So I should ask someone and come with a teachable spirit. Because pride is a key young man's sin, and it can be easily seen when we're unwilling to listen to others. Or when people try to help us, we have no interest in hearing what they have to say. A fool has no desire, has no interest in understanding, but only in expressing his own heart. And so young men must be exhorted to not be foolish in thinking they're wise in their own eyes, but instead being teachable to those around them. And so this is crucial that young men seek humility. And this is also with the first two, determining the future and saving from sorrow. A great way for young men to save from sorrow and have a better future is by listening to good counsel. Is by listening to their parents first and foremost, by making sure their parents think it's a wise decision, especially if they have Christian parents. I know there are exceptions if you have ungodly parents, but even then, usually parents just love their children. They're going to at least give them common grace, wisdom. But especially believing children with believing parents should listen to what their parents think, should honor their father and mother and care what they say. The people that children should most want to hear from is their own parents. And so young men must be exhorted against the danger of pride, the danger of pride. Next, love of pleasure. Love of pleasure. Young men need to be exhorted against the dangers of living for sinful pleasures that they can become ensnared in if they give themselves to these things, whether it's pornography or fornication, or giving themselves to design to fulfill their sexual lust. That's a key area where young men need to be self-controlled and sober-minded, because young men can so easily live by the passions of their flesh instead of by the Holy Spirit. And so young men need to be exhorted and admonished to not give themselves to sinful pleasures, or even things where young men can give themselves to excessive amounts of playing video games or playing computer games, where they're so focused on doing good at video games or computer games that they're not even living life. And so there are many ways in which young men need to be reminded to not live for pleasure, to not live for instant gratification. We live in a culture where we don't believe really in delayed gratification. We believe if I want it, I should get it right now. And young men who are walking in sober-mindedness say, I might not get the reward or the result I want right now, but I'm not living for this moment. I'm living for the future. I know that if I delay my gratification, if I seek to be faithful to God, I will experience better blessing and greater pleasure if I do it God's way. And so young men have to be exhorted in that. They have to be exhorted in the dangers of living for pleasure, knowing that a man who flees fornication is actually delaying gratification because he knows that he wants to experience the fullness of God's blessing within marriage. Or a young man who, instead of living for what he can do merely on the computer screen or the video game and living that's his life, actually doing genuine productive things, or he's genuinely doing things that are productive. Just for clarity, I'm not completely condemning video games. I do think there is some liberty, but I do think excessive video games is unwise and sinful because it makes you more focused on that screen than about real life. And so we need warning about not loving pleasure. One reason, you know why for young men video games are so attractive? I think video games are so attractive. I don't think it's original with me. I think I heard it somewhere. But it's because young men were made to conquer things. Young men were made to do things and finish things and be productive. And video games somewhat simulate that, but is not real. Where in the video game, you can conquer things, you can overcome things, you can destroy things, and it makes you feel really good because you feel like you're doing something. It's just not real. And that can be the draw for young men in video games. And so there must be an exhortation to not live for the pleasure, not excessively live for the pleasure of those things. And so young men need to be exhorted against the dangers of living for pleasure, living for sinful pleasure. Next, thoughtlessness. Thoughtlessness. Young men need to be exhorted against the danger of thoughtlessness. Well, what might this mean? It means the young man who, instead of thinking about what he's doing, instead of thinking about the choices that he makes, he just rushes into something without thinking about it, without thinking about what he might be doing or why he's doing it or what's the purpose of it. And he just enters in and then he looks back and realizes that was not wise. That was not wise for me to do. But the reason why is because he wasn't thinking. He just, again, maybe the love of pleasure or his desire was so strong that instead of thinking about it, he gave himself to it thoughtlessly without thinking, is this actually the proper way in which I should go? And so a young man must be exhorted against the danger of, without thinking, just giving himself to whatever he wants and therefore not wisely determining his steps. And so young men must be exhorted against the danger of thoughtless thinking, where they don't think and they rush into something and they put themselves in situations that might lead them astray. The next one, contempt of religion. Contempt of religion, where, and religion here being Christianity, where they're is not a true desire to grow in grace and knowledge. And maybe they're even a Christian, but they prioritize other things above their soul and the importance of obeying God. And therefore, they're more concerned about how they can do this or that than growing in their godly character. And this can be especially true of young men who grow up in Christian homes and maybe aren't converted, or maybe are converted, but they get so accustomed to the Christian faith that they don't prioritize it like they should. And therefore, they can have, even in a subtle way, a contempt of religion by not prioritizing their relationship with Christ. Next, fear of man's opinion. Fear of man's opinion, which can be a big one for young men. A huge one for young men, because young men want to be liked and accepted. And sometimes young men can be consumed with wanting to be cool or popular or fit in, or they don't want to stand out. And therefore, they make choices and they do things because of what others will think about them. They're not concerned about ultimately what God will think about them, but what will others think of me if I do this? And therefore, they're consumed about fearing man's opinion. They're concerned about what will others think about me if I choose not to enter in with this type of activity, if I don't go to this movie, if I don't watch this show, if I don't have this type of clothing, if I don't have this type of shoe, if I don't have this type of X, Y, or Z, then therefore I'm not cool, because they're so consumed about what other people think. And it becomes a trap, because the fear of man brings a snare. It brings a trap. And so young men need to be exhorted to be sober-minded, not be so concerned about what others think, but be more concerned about what the Lord thinks. Not so concerned about what will people say about me, but what will God, the God of heaven and earth, think about me. The fear of man's opinion is a snare. It is a snare when we are consumed about what others think about us. The fear of man's opinion. Next, seeing the evil of sin. Young men need to be exhorted to see the evil of sin, knowing that their sin, which is transgression against God's law, is what Jesus had to die upon the cross for. And so they must see the horrid nature of sin that they might flee from it and pursue righteousness. Young men must think soberly about sin, not laughing about it, mocking about it, joking about it, playing games with it, but seeing the evil of sin. Young men must see the evil of sin, because young men will not live the way God wants them to live unless they see that their greatest problem, their greatest ailment is their own remaining sin, their own sin that is still in them. And so young men need to be exhorted to think sober-mindedly about sin, seeing the evil of sin. Next, seeking to know the greatness of Christ. Young men need to be exhorted to think rightly about the greatness of Christ, knowing that the only way they can be saved is by Christ. They must see him as their prophet, their priest, their king, to see him as their all-sufficient Savior. Young men need to have a growing grasp of Christ's person and Christ's work, and realize that every spiritual blessing is found in him. Justification, adoption, sanctification, and glorification. They need to know that every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. And so therefore, young men need to see the greatness of Christ. They need to seek the greatness of Christ. And a young man will only be sober-minded truly and sincerely as he's growing in his love, devotion, and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so young men must see the greatness of Christ. Otherwise, everything else on this list will be null and void, because the only way that a young man can live in a sober-minded way is if he's living, walking and living for the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other way will lead him to destruction. And so young men must see their need for Christ, must grow in their knowledge of the greatness of Christ. Next, the importance of their soul. Young men need to be exhorted to see the importance of their soul. It's very common for young men to want to be strong and fit, which is not wrong. But it is wrong if they're more consumed about being strong and fit than they are about their never dying soul. And there are many young men in our culture that are more consumed about how their body looks when they're not concerned at all about how their soul is with the living God. And so young men must be exhorted to know the importance of their soul, knowing that this body is a good thing and should be stewarded well, but not at the expense of caring for our soul. Because if a man has a great body, but he does not have a saved soul, it matters nothing in the end. And so young men need to know that their soul is crucial and the importance of their soul. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so young men must be exhorted to think about their soul, the importance of their soul, knowing that that is the most important thing they can live for. And so they should focus on their soul. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is way more important than having a body that can lift heavy weights or can deadlift or bench press or squat a lot. Someone can do that, but their soul is in peril. It's ultimately meaningless because not valuing their soul is bringing themselves into great danger. So young men must be exhorted to sober-mindedness about their soul, about the importance of their soul. Next, serving God. Young men should be exhorted that even as at a young age, they can serve God. No one is ever too young to serve God. No one is ever too young to be faithful to God, loving Him, obeying Him, being faithful to Him. If you think about people like Joseph or Daniel or Timothy, all young men who were faithful to God in their generation. And young men need to be exhorted that they don't have to think, oh, I'll serve God when I'm in my 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or maybe 50s, 60s, 70s. I'll serve God then. They should be exhorted to serve God now and realize that they can serve God at a young age and have an impact on the world. Sometimes young men can think, well, I can't really serve God now because I'm too young. But there are young men in the Bible who serve God faithfully. Joseph was sold into slavery at 17 years old. But he was serving God faithfully, even in a foreign land in Egypt. And so young men should be exhorted to live and think in a sober-minded way by pursuing godliness and serving God even at a young age. No one is ever too young to serve God. Next, making the Bible your guide. Young men must be exhorted to be readers, students, and studiers of the Word of God. They should memorize it, meditate, and share with others. Let me just say this to young men directly. You don't realize how much you have the ability to memorize when you're young. If you listen to sermons and read the Word and memorize it and meditate on it, you will be shocked how much you can remember. Because God in your younger years, not that older people can't memorize, they can. But there's a unique value as a younger man to memorize and to meditate and to think about things so that you have it in your heart. And so take advantage as a younger person of the benefit of a mind that can soak in so much and memorize Scripture, memorize truth that will benefit you long into the future. You will be very thankful if you're a Christian to have much Scripture memorized. You will be thankful to memorize Scripture so that when something comes up, when a decision comes up, you might have to turn to pages. But if you've been memorizing lots of Scripture, you already know the answer without even going to your Bible because it's in your head, because you stored it up in your heart. Your word I've hidden in my heart, the psalmist says, that I might not sin against you. And so memorizing Scripture is so valuable as a young man so that you might have God's word on the tip of your tongue. It is so helpful to have God's word in your heart and when you're seeking to make decisions, when you're seeking to fight temptation, when you're seeking to avoid things that would not benefit you. And so we should also, having the Bible as our guide, all of our practices, all of our precepts, all of our decisions, all of our thinking should be shaped by the Word of God. We should desire, as younger men in sober-minded thinking, to have all of our decisions shaped by Scripture, shaped by what the Word of God says, not what my feelings say, not what my emotions say, not what my passions say, not what my desires say, but what does the Scripture say? Because we can so easily, as young men, be more concerned about how we feel about something than what the Scriptures say about it. This can especially happen for young men as it relates to women, because they're more concerned about how a person looks than they are about their soul. They're more concerned about, do they look good on the outside, than are they going to be a good wife and a good mother. They can be more concerned about, is this person attractive to me physically, than do they have a soul that loves Christ? And so by making the Bible their guide, they'll have a verse like this on the tip of their tongue. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. They'll have a verse like this, that a beautiful woman without discretion is like a gold ring in a swine's snout. They'll know that, okay, this woman might look beautiful, but she doesn't have any discretion. She doesn't have any self-control. And therefore, it's like a gold ring in a pig's snout. And a woman who's charming and beautiful, that will eventually, the beauty will fade. But what matters, does she fear the Lord? And so this is what happens when a man is making the Bible his guide. He's making his decisions based on what does Scripture say, not what do my feelings say. And I can't stress it enough. If you do not have the Bible as your guide, you will go astray. You will make foolish decisions because you're living for what the world and your flesh says, which are contrary to what the Word of God says. We must have the Word of God in our hearts. We must make it our guide. We must be led by it and guided by it. And so there's no better way to be led by the Bible than by having it in your heart, because it's memorized. And as a young person, you can memorize so much. This is convicting for me to say this, but because it's super convicting. But thinking, if someone told me they would give me $1,000 if I memorized one verse, $1,000 for every verse, how many more verses would I have memorized? It's convicting, because that would be motivating to me. But we have here something better than gold, better than fine gold, better than honey. And my motivation should be because it's for my good. And your motivation should be for your good. Because having God's word in our heart, there's nothing better for our Christian life than having it in our heart so that we can live by it. You want to overcome sin? Memorize Scripture. Your word I have in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And we're talking about young men. The psalmist also says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. That's Psalm 119, verse 9. That's how a young man is able to keep his way pure, by guarding it, by keeping it according to God's word. And so make the Bible your guide. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Listen to good sermons. We have a treasure trove out there to listen to good sermons. We have YouTube with hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons on it, probably thousands. We have sermon audio, thousands of sermons. There's so many places where if you're not sure something, maybe you want to know something better, you can find good sermons all over the place of men opening up the Word of God so that you can know it better for yourself. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we have God's word resonating in our heart, it's going to have a great effect on our life, our behavior, our desires, our thoughts, because that's what's going to be in our heart. Next, make friends of the friends of God. Young men need to be exhorted of the importance of the friends they make. J.C. Ryle has a famous phrase. I'm going to somewhat paraphrase it, but he says, clothing and company are a sure sign of character. Clothing and company. Clothing being how you dress. Company, the people you hang around. Your friends. Your friends. Make friends with the friends of God. It's so important that our close friends, those who we are knitted with, are those who love Jesus Christ. Those who will encourage us in biblical truth. Those who will aid us in pursuing holiness. Those who will not make us feel bad for being godly, but will actually correct us if we're not being godly. Those are the type of friends we want. Proverbs 12, verse 26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 12, verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Or the psalmist says, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your commandments or those who keep your precepts, something like that. He's a companion. He's a friend of all those who fear God. And the father in Proverbs says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Proverbs 1 verse 10. Because he's encouraging his son. Don't go in the way of sinners. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Or maybe the best text, one of the best texts about friendships. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but instead his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Our friends, you know what? Our friends are going to be the people we get counsel from, we're going to stand with, and we're going to sit with. And God says, blessed is the man who doesn't get counsel from the ungodly, who doesn't stand with sinners, and who does not sit in the seat of those who scorn against God. And therefore, we must make friends with the friends of God, because our friends are going to have a great effect on us. If we have friends that are godly, you know what they're going to help us be? More godly. If we have friends that are ungodly, you know what they're going to encourage us to be? Ungodly like them. And so our friends are crucial. And also in our friend group, or someone like our friend, is very likely someone we'll get married to, which will have even a greater effect than just a friend, but the person you get married to. And so it's so important that we make friends with the friends of God. If a person is not helping you be holy, they're not helping you as a friend. Our choice of friend should ultimately be, is this person going to help me be a better Christian? Not are they cool, are they popular, or even are they nice, but are they godly? And when I ask them for counsel, are they going to give me biblical counsel, or are they going to lead me in paths of evil and sin? We need friends with the friends of God. We need to be friends with those who love Christ. And so it's so important of who we make our friends with, especially young men. Especially young men. Because who we make our friends with will have a great effect on us. Will have a huge effect on us. I'm so thankful in my life that I didn't really have many friends on my college campus. I didn't really have people that I could be friends with, sadly, because there was a lot of bad influences at the college I went to. But I'm so thankful God put me in a good church where I was with a lot of older men. Men, decent men older than me. Some men could have been my father. That was the age gap. But I'm so thankful for that, because it allowed me to have people that were encouraging me in my college years to be godly, and that accountability and that love was such a blessing. And I look back on my college years so thankful for that. I did have some friends at college, but what would happen is they would come, they would eventually transfer, and then they wouldn't be there anymore. That happened more than once. But I'm so thankful for the church I was able to be a part of, where I had godly friends that were helping me. And for you as young men, having godly friends is one of the greatest blessings you could ever have in your life. Next, break with every sin. Young men need to be exhorted to be sober-minded, to not play with sin, not mess around with it, knowing that sin is deceitful and harmful. They must be exhorted to cut off arms, cut off hands, and pluck out eyes, so to speak, as Jesus says, that they may overcome and break with sin. The longer a young man stays in sin without repentance, the longer a young man stays living life of sin, the harder it is to break. The longer you put roots in sinful things, the harder it is to stop. And so young men must be sober-minded to say, if I keep doing this, I might think I can stop, and that's the lie of sin. Sin wants to tell you this. You can stop whenever you want. Whenever you want to stop, you can stop. And then you try and you realize, it deceived me. Sin deceived me. I can't stop whenever I want. It's not that easy. And so we must be diligent to break off with every sin and to be diligent against it, especially sins that can be especially ensnaring. We need to break off of them, because they might tell you you can stop, but you can't. And we need to be sober-minded to say, I must do whatever I can, whatever I need to do to break off every sin. Jesus says it's better for you to cut off your arm and pluck out your eye, again, so to speak, not literally, but as a hyperbolic way of putting it, than to die and go to hell. And so we must be serious about it. Why would a man who is in the woods with a tree on top of his arm, why would he cut off his arm? And men would do that. If they're stuck under a tree, no one's around, their phone is in the truck, why would they cut off their arm? Because they want to live. Because they don't want to die. They're willing to, with maybe a pocket knife, chop off their arm, which will be extremely painful. But you know why they would do it? Because they want to go home to their wife and kids. And they don't want to die out there in the woods. And Jesus is saying, you should be willing to take radical measures against sin because you don't want to die and go to hell. You want to have life. Just like the man would be willing with the pocket knife to cut off his arm so he could get home. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to break off sin. To put it off and put on righteousness. Because we want to experience the fullness of life that Jesus came to give. Next, avoid every occasion for sin. We also should be wise about the places and the people we're with or the things we do that can be especially tempting to us. We need to be wise about the things that we choose to do, knowing that if we do this, we will be especially tempted towards evil and rebellion and disobedience. We need to be wise about our choices and not only avoiding sin, but avoiding things that might tempt us to sin. I think this is what the scriptures mean when in Romans 13:14 it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We are not to make provision for the flesh by giving ourselves opportunity where the flesh can be aroused and therefore give in to sin. We must avoid occasions of sin. We must avoid those things that tempt us. And for different young men, it might be different. But we should be wise in avoiding things that are tempting to us. We should be wise about the places we go, the people we're with, the things we do. If we know that we are arousing our flesh, we are provoking our flesh, we are giving provision for our flesh by having that, or doing that, or going there, or being there, or seeing that person. So you have to know for yourself. Avoiding every occasion for sin. Some things are, we can't avoid them. There are some places or some things you go and you can't avoid it. But these are things where we can avoid, when we can make different choices. Are we making steps to avoid occasions for sin? Next, never forget the eye of God. Never forget the eye of God. Parents might not see us. Friends might not see us. A wife might not see us. But the living God sees all things. No matter where we are, God sees us, which should motivate us to flee sin and pursue righteousness. Even if no one would ever see us, if no one would ever know, because it would be private, it would be by ourselves, we should flee sin because God sees. And so J.C. Ryle exhorts us to never forget the eye of God. Never forget that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, as the Proverbs say. That David says in the Psalms, where can I flee from your presence? Or where can I go from your spirit? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I go east or west, you're there. There's no place where we can get away from God. And therefore, we should remember that everything is under the eye of God. Everything is seen by God. There are things that maybe you were thinking about doing that were not pleasing to God. And you knew someone was coming and it caused you to stop. But we should always remember that we're always under the eye of God. He always sees us. Which is a motivation positively to remember that he rewards us when we do things privately for his glory. He rewards us openly. He will reward us openly. But also it's an encouragement to flee temptation and flee sin and flee iniquity because we know God sees all. And so young men should be exhorted, be sober-minded in remembering that God is omniscient, meaning he's everywhere present. He's everywhere at once. Next, use all the public means of grace. Young men must be exhorted to use the public means of grace. They must be exhorted to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They must be exhorted to sit under preaching, if they're Christians, to take the Lord's Supper. To be a part of the prayers and enjoy the fellowship of God's people. In Acts 2:42, after the disciples had been baptized, they gave themselves to four things. They gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine, which was the preaching. They gave themselves to the breaking of bread, which was the Lord's Supper. They gave themselves to fellowship, being with God's people, and they gave themselves to the prayers. And so young men must be exhorted to take advantage and make the most of the public means of grace, of preaching, of the Lord's Supper, of fellowship, of praying, of the time of worship, so that they might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think I've said it before, but if someone asked me, what is the best way that you would say a Christian can grow? I would say, find a good church, sit under the ministry of the word, and get everything you can out of it. Study the passage before, look at commentaries before, pray over the text before, think about it before, talk about it with your spouse, your friends, your siblings. Sit under the ministry of the word and get everything out of it. That is the best way for a Christian to go, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And yes, we should have private devotions. Yes, we should do things privately. But the best way for us to grow is in the context of with all the saints, with the saints of God, learning and growing and hearing the word of God. And so young men must be exhorted to take advantage of the means of grace, all the public means of grace. And then lastly, young men should be exhorted to pray. What a privilege we have to pray as young men. And we must know the power and blessing that comes from prayer. Knowing that prayer is the ultimate way of showing humility before God. Knowing that when we come to God in prayer, we are humbling ourselves, realizing that we don't know in ourselves. We need help. We need strength. We need enablement. And God loves to hear and answer the prayers of his young believing people. He loves to hear the prayers of all his people. But he loves to hear as well the prayers of young men who come to him with humility, saying, Father, I need your help. I need grace. I need strength. I need enablement. Please help me. And so young men must be exhorted to be men of prayer. And so these are areas that I picked out from J.C. Ryle's book in which young men need to be exhorted to be sober-minded. Where young men need to be exhorted to think rightly, to have self-control. And as hopefully you saw, many of these things, or most of these things, have application for all of us, even though this book is particularly for young men. And so we are, as young men in particular, here we see, exhort to be sober-minded, to think rightly, to think with a clear head based on God's truth. And when we do that, we will prosper, we will be successful, we will be blessed. Because the one who meditates on God's law day and night with a sober mind, he brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Or this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success, as it says in Joshua 1 verse 8. Joshua is a younger man. What was he to do? To meditate on the law of God, to do the law of God, to be strong and courageous, because by doing that, his way would be prosperous, and by doing that, he would have the way of success. I don't know about the young men here, but I know I want my way to be successful, and I want my way to be prosperous as God wants it for me. And God says the way to do that, have the book of law in your mouth and in your heart, and follow it. And the only way a young man can do that is if he's thinking with a sober mind. If he's thinking with a sober mind. But those who are not saved, those who are not in Christ, you can never truly have the sober mind that God wants for you unless you come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Only in Christ can you have a sober mind to think rightly about life and about things and choices and desires. Only in Christ can you have that. So look to Christ and have salvation. And walk in the sober mind that God wants you to. And for all of us as young men here, we must be sober-minded. We must think rightly about these things. We must think wisely about our choices. Because the choices we make will have a great effect, not just on ourselves, but on others. And you know why the world, the flesh, and the devil especially wants to come after young men? Because they know that the young men are going to be the next generation of husbands and fathers, of pastors, of civil leaders. And therefore, it's an all-out attack against young men because in young men is the next generation of leaders, both in the family, in the church, and in the states. And if Satan can get young men, he knows the next generation is going to be weak, effeminate, and going astray. Just look around our country. Because Satan has got so many young men in his grip. They're falling, as Ephesians 2 says, the prince of the power of the air. They're following the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They're following their sinful desires. They're children of wrath. And therefore, we have what we have. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 12, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases." But what a blessing it is when there are young men who are sober-minded, living for Christ, following God's ways. And of course, we know God is sovereign over Satan. Satan can do nothing above God. But we also do know that Satan does, in God's providence, wreak havoc upon young men by making them weak and soft and ungodly and not courageous. And that's why in the book of Joshua, the repetition over and over again to the men, you had to be 20 years older as a young man to serve in war, be strong and of good courage, be strong and courageous. And the only way that a man can be strong and courageous is if he's walking with God and he's walking with a sober mind. So for you as a young man, this is what God wants for you to be sober-minded. And so it should be the rule, not the exception, that Christian young men are sober-minded. All of us should desire this as Christian young men, to be sober-minded so that we can make wise decisions. And the beautiful thing is if you don't know, ask someone. Get help. Have someone to pray for you, encourage you, lead you in the way you should go so that you might know the paths of righteousness that God wants for you. And for all of us, God wants all of us to be sober-minded, whether you're a young man or not. God wants you to be self-controlled. God wants you to be sober-minded. God wants you to be a faithful Christian living as he wants. And so no matter what age you are, God wants you to think with a sober mind. And why? Because Jesus died and rose again for us. He was crucified upon the cross and rose again so that God would prepare the good works of sober-mindedness for us before time began. Sober-minded living is one of those good works that Jesus died that we would walk in. He saved us by grace through faith, so that we would be his workmanship, so that we would be created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if God prepared them, he will give us everything we need to walk in them by his grace, through our union with Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live the life that Jesus died and rose again to make us. He died to make us new creations. He died so we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so may we be young men, and all of us be people who are sober-minded. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us all, but especially the young men, be sober-minded. In Jesus' name, amen.